Oh, it's going to be a really big show today. It's the news. According to me. I couldn't come up with anything fun. A little intro quip there. I didn't have anything. Yeah, it is Monday morning. A little bit late. 8:40 a.m. October 21st, 2024. Looking on my little gauges here this morning, it looks like my keyboard might be getting almost dead. I've got this little goofy keyboard. It's kind of a Apple copy, like a whatever. I don't think it's an Apple product. Oh, I guess it is. It is an Apple product. Actually, I have to put batteries in it, which I think is ridiculous. Can't just charge it up. So anyway, many things going on. There's a couple things I haven't had a chance to respond to. One of the things was the whole Brett Baer thing. Now, Brett, I've seen Brett Baer in person. Brett Baer is not a healthy individual. His face looks healthy. Put it that way. When he's on camera now, he's not looking as healthy as he used to be. He's had a facelift. I don't know if anybody noticed that or not. Apparently not. Not that there's anything, you know, immoral about that. It's just weird. Especially when men have a facelift. It's just creepy. I get the whole motivation for why women do it. I can at least understand it. I don't understand men having facelifts. It doesn't make any sense to me. Joe Biden has had a few. Mostly around their eyes, which is, that's the one place you can see a facelift mostly. Get a little tuck. Pull the skin back. There's ways around that. Especially for men, there's things you can do to help tone your skin and do all kinds of things. And women can too, but it's just a matter of, I don't know how much discipline you have to do it. But it's, and I personally, I just think that the person's character, they lose who they are, in my opinion. They lose their character because when they start messing with their face like that. But just my opinion. I think it shows their shallowness, first of all, in my opinion. Now, if you have some issues, serious issues with, you know, just looking hideous, some kind of deformation or whatever, maybe you had an accident or whatever happened or some kind of growth. I get it. So you just want to look at least presentable, you know, I mean, to some degree. It can become a distraction if you have someone a weird. Anyway, I'm just not going to get into that. They have a little curb appeal, I guess. I don't know. The point that I'm trying to make, I want to talk a little bit about the interview because it ties into something else I want to talk about. Because the whole tone of Kamala's campaign has changed. One of the interesting things, I think the most interesting things, is that she's not at all talking anything about what's in her cup. And I see that's one thing I do. I talk about what's in my cup. I have a cup this morning that has vanilla chai as well as Cinnabon creamer. I'm back to the Cinnabon creamer now. For a little while, I have a little bit more left, probably for at least Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, most likely Thursday. I will have a show this week. Now, Friday is going to be a little bit unknown at this point. If I play my cards right, I will be around on Friday morning. However, that doesn't always work that way for me. I have, this last week, it didn't work very well at all. In fact, Thursday, Friday, I ended up having to work very early in the mornings. I actually was in Rochester, Minnesota at one point, as well as, where else did I go? I was someplace else. I don't remember where it was. Oh, well. I have, I think I was. Yeah, because I was, where did I go? I don't even remember. It doesn't really matter. No, I think I was in Chicago one night. That's just up in Chicago one night, and I can't remember where else I went as far as overnights. So I think I spent some time in Chicago, and then I also spent some time in Rochester, Minnesota. And I know I went to, I was supposed to go to Canada. I didn't end up not going to Canada. I ended up going to Louisville, Kentucky. Or for those of you who are not there, from there, it's Louisville. If you're from there, it's Louisville. Or Louisville, whatever you want, however you want to say it. however you say it, it's still the same place. That's one of those things. It's kind of like New Orleans. New Orleans. Well, it's still the same place. So just, we know what you're talking about. Whether you say it right or not, it doesn't matter. We know what you're talking about. So that's really, what's important is that you communicated it properly. Now, in my backup cup this morning is a little bit something a little bit different. I have apple cider. Locally grown and squeezed. It's good stuff. That is good stuff. They pasteurize it now, which is not as good as it was when I was a kid. I guess they started, somebody got sick one time, so they had to start cooking it. Now, my understanding is it's a low cook. It's not at least the local place here, they don't cook the snot out of it, but it's because the snot's good for you. Leave that snot in there. It's good for you. There's life in that stuff. Kind of like bread. When you make your own bread with these homemade, homegrown, home bread machines, when you buy the grain and you make your own stuff, you make your own flour, you make your own, it's not bleached. It's not messed up. It's you have, there's actually life in that bread. There's bacteria, certain types of bacteria in the bread and other things that are good for you. You can make a meal out of stuff, just the bread alone, which is interesting. I mean, talk about the bread of life. It's kind of a different kind of perspective than just having some kind of, anyway. Wait, yeah, the dog's going out. I don't know if you can probably hear it again. It's the dog in the background. I'll be quiet. Yeah, there he is. He's taking his way to China again. He was fine until I started talking. He's trying to get away from me. The interesting thing about what's been going on with this Bret Baier interview, I know it's been a long time ago. It was last week, which in politics, this time of the news cycles, the is full of things going on. And so by the time I talk about it, this happened Wednesday night or Thursday night. And I didn't have a chance to talk about it yet. As I've looked back on this, it was a train wreck. However, there was one thing I think, you have to understand, when they're having these kinds of events, they have people watching. And they do all these little focus groups where they'll have somebody listening. They'll have this little group listening, and they'll push little favorability or they like this, they don't like that. It's kind of like, it kind of goes back and forth. There is this constant ticker right now. It's a ticker of favorability one way or the other. They're constantly checking people as to whether or not. Of course, you start pushing. There's two buttons you can push. One is Trump, and one's Kamala. And so you get to get Trump and Harris, and you're pushing back. You either have to push one way or the other. And so the people are, or you leave it neutral. And so they have all these people doing all this stuff. Well, the favorabilities go up and down and all this stuff while people are speaking, even while they're speaking live. And they'll have a particular group or focus or something on, and the stuff goes back and forth. So you can see the spread between, who they like and who they don't. Well, right now, Kamala is way behind. There's a huge spread right now between the two of them of about, it's got to be a 40% spread between the two. And which just shows that there's some, and that's more real time, more real life. However, that usually isn't reflected in polls until like a week or so later. Polls aren't, they always want to take polls the next day. Well, people haven't processed that stuff. People don't watch this stuff the very day it happens. Now, you might get a big audience. You might say 53 million people watched that debate. Whatever. That's the aggregate of who watched the debate. So you won't have people watching live necessarily. Now, in that particular debate, they did. Sometimes it takes people a little while to process what they saw. How do you really feel about it? That kind of thing. By the time they get asked the question, how did the debate, you know, affect your opinion or whatever? So it's those are the kind of things that are not really well. People have to have a little time to process these things. So it the polls, and then the time that it takes to process the poll itself. So it doesn't just happen in an instant like that. Not at least not yet. In most cases. So you won't see the actual effects of those polls or on the effect on the country for sometimes up to 5 to 7 days afterwards, after an event. Now, they do these little focus groups, and one of the things that happened during this Bret Baier interview is that she got all this indignation all of a sudden. She started talking about how the president of the United States, or whatever it was, she said it. She got very indignant and acted, which was all an act. You could tell she didn't believe anything she was saying. This wasn't really. And of course, she's done this same speech now. She injected this into her little speech on her campaign trail, where she turns into this little mean little monster, might want to say. And I'll play a clip here in just a little bit. Let's see if I can find the, where is it at there? Yeah, I don't see it anywhere. Where'd it go? Roadcaster, there we go. Let's just connect to this thing. So I want to play this in real time, or in real time, like, so you can hear it real well. This is what has morphed from that. And I'm sure that on the focus groups that people who were watching the debate, they liked this Kamala. Oh, this Kamala came out. She came out strong, and she was, you know, really showing presidential leadership because she was. Now, I guarantee nobody has talked about this. I haven't heard any other commentators talk about this, but I guarantee you this is exactly what happened. That there was this uptick in her favorability because she came out strong against. And she seemed, you know, indignant and mama bear kind of thing going on there. By the way, I don't believe she's ever had any children. I just come think of it. But we have so this is where it's coming out. I wish I could play that. Maybe I could find the let me see if I can find the actual clip of her and Bret Baier. They call it a testy, which was very strange, by the way. I think about 7 or 8 different. I better find a different page here. There was at least 7 or 8 different news organizations, prominent news organizations, that all came out with the word testy. It was a testy debate. Testy. They all used the same word. Now there's reasons for this, and I could get into some of the things about the Associated Press and some other things about the conglomerates and the way they do things. But there are also, as we know, they've been exposed as that some of these news organizations have conference calls at the beginning of the day, and the head of the organization will tell everybody this is going to be what we're talking about today. This is going to be the topic today. This is going to be what we're going to do, and all these news organizations, all these people join in together as kind of like a union type thing. We're gonna gang up together. This is going to be a talking point. This is where the people are. This is what we need to talk about. And it's very interesting. Let's see if I can find. I'm going to put in a search here. Let's Bret Baier. I don't know how to pronounce his or how to spell his last name. Baier, I think. Kamala. Which she is herself. She has pronounced her name both ways. She's. It's very weird. But she, angry. Let's see what happens here. the interview itself was ridiculous. She was asked point blank questions, of course, and completely just went off on talking glib points again, just without even answering questions. One of the questions that he asked right away was, how many people do you believe have gotten away with? Is it 1 million, 3 million? You know, what is the number? Well, Brad, let's just get to the point. I'm glad you brought up the issue of immigration. Let's just get to the point. The point is, how many? Well, they've, you know, the Republicans turned down, and it was always Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been running. Well, it was your policies in the early days, and he talked about the girls who'd been killed from illegal aliens being here, who most of them had been arrested and released a couple times. So the that whole thing was going on. Well, this is an SNL skit. I wonder if that was any good. Probably not. I don't know what that is. Jesse Dillon, whatever. Yeah, I'm not going to find it just right off the bat. I should have probably had this queued up beforehand. Oh, they've got an SNL cold open. Got Brett Baron. It might be funny because they've been poking fun at her pretty good here recently. But, you know, The Hill used to be a pretty decent organization. They have gotten ridiculous now. They're saying they're saying Brett Baer was lying about stuff, and I'm no Brett Baer fan. Let's just put it that way very quickly. And I can't find it here. This is, well, here's the actual question that he asked. I think this is going to show us what the heck. You know, let's see. Maybe this will have it. It may not.
Voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration, because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but do you think it's 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point.
The point is, what's the answer?
That we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
an immigration system. It's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question. I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
No, you weren't beginning to answer. That's the problem. You were beginning to filibuster. You came in late to the interview, which was only supposed to be 30 minutes, ended up being less than 20 because of you were so late. Then you called it. You called it before it was even supposed to be over, before the actual original time was supposed to be over. So it's just crazy the way this kind of thing happened. Let's see what this one is. This is immigrants released. This is probably the same thing.
Released into the country. And let me just.
She backs off and she acts like. Now I wish I could find this particular one that I can't find it here on this particular group of shorts. But anyway, I don't see it there. It's not there. Yeah, let's try this again. Anyway, she gets all indignant, and this is the new Kamala now. This is the way Kamala is. I'm going to play this because it shows this is the way she is on the campaign trail. Now this is courtesy of Liberal Hive Mind. He had a compilation of all this stuff. And they even have this thing where they have like 9 different screens up at the same time. And she says exactly the same thing at the same time at all these different events that she's been to. She's getting very, very indignant. And this is supposed to be the new Kamala, she's showing herself to be passionate, impassioned, really cares about the country, cares about the presidential seal. So let's see what she says here.
And here's why, this is what we know. Anybody who wants to be president of the United States, who has called for the, quote, termination of the Constitution of the United States, should never again have the ability to stand behind seal of the President of the United States. Should never again have the privilege of standing behind the seal of the President of the United States. should never again stand behind the seal of the President of the United States.
Okay, I'm tired of that. She says it the same way all the time. Every time she says it, it's the same way. And she gets, as soon as she says the seal, the president, and she starts shaking her finger and making it sound like she's here to rescue us from this terrible person who did all these things, who wants to cancel the Constitution of the United States. Where do they come up with this crap? You know, he incited an insurrection. That's never been proven. The very congressional hearing was illegal the way they did it, and it wasn't a hearing. There wasn't any kind of testimony from either side, other than Clavicle Girl. That was all hearsay. Which is just, the whole thing was such a kangaroo court. It was just ridiculous. And this went after all of their political enemies. It's just they weaponized the system. And it's just the way they do that. And they're claiming that he's going to do the same thing. That's what he's going to do. Oh, he's the one who's going to do all that. I don't understand what their thinking is in all this. How they think they're just, well, whatever they're doing is not working. And for some reason they think it is. And that's what's really baffling to me, is that they think that they're somehow, you know, now they're just throwing Hail Marys at everything. Over the weekend, she didn't show up to the the event. It's a Catholic event of some kind that presidents and presidential candidates have been to over years, all the time. And she didn't show up. She sent a video, which was very cringe. It wasn't even funny. I didn't find anything funny about it at all. They used this old SNL like girl, the girl who, you know, the superstar girl I didn't think it was funny at all. And I'm all about laughing at whoever, whatever. I didn't even think it was funny to laugh at. Like, it wasn't even bad enough to laugh about it, let alone with it. It's not even laughable at all. It's just ridiculous. And it's just, in fact, I thought it was kind of, anyway, the point I'm making here is that they continue to go down these roads of all this, doing all this stuff, and they're not getting anywhere. I think what's driving them nuts is they had this fancy, they had this little, oh, you know, Kamala's out there now. And of course now, when she's asked anything about what's the difference between her, me, and what's happening with, you know, what's different about your administration and the, because you're in office now, what's the difference between what you're going to do and what Joe Biden has done? Well, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I can't think of anything, you know, that I would do differently. I can't, there is not a thing. That I would do differently. So all those things are piling up now. People are starting to realize, hey, she's supposedly going to be the change candidate. You know, we're going to turn the page. Well, the problem is you were on the page before, and you're going to be on the page, the next page. So what's the difference between the pages here? What are we changing? It's the same story, different page. I think she would be worse, or I think she would be different than Joe Biden. I think she'd be worse than Joe Biden. Now, they're talking about her favorability ratings. They're going into all this whole thing. They make this big. This is where the pollsters, they do things like this all the time. They get things wrong so much. This one guy, he's on CNN. He's just pretty straightforward, showing the numbers. And he's talking about how Joe Biden at this time in his race, actually before she took over, Joe Biden was doing better against Trump than Kamala is now. Here's the problem with that whole premise. Joe Biden came out in that debate and they realized this guy is going to tank. If they would have allowed Joe to continue on as the candidate, I guarantee you Trump would be even further ahead than he is now. I guarantee you. That debate solidified Joe's incompetence. They were talking about having another debate with Joe. In fact, I think the actual date and time of the next debate with Kamala was actually the one they were supposed to have with Joe. And that whole thing became such a fiasco that that's why Joe was forced to leave. And what's interesting here is that Gaffigan, what's the guy's name? Cannot think of his first name. He's a comedian. He was at this Al Smith, whatever event, Junior, whatever event it was that the president was at. The president actually told some zingers. He told a few that fell flat. He told some jokes that were actually pretty funny. And Gaffigan even kind of attacked Kamala. He's like, "Why didn't you show up here? Why are you not here?" You know, it makes the 21% of the voting public in New York is Catholic, and she didn't show up for this event. She was at some other thing, and he kind of made fun of the fact that she had time to go to Call Me Daddy or whatever it is, stupid thing she went to. So it's even he was making fun of her, and he really said nothing bad against Trump the whole night. He kind of poked some jokes there too, but Chuck Schumer looked like he was about the most uncomfortable person in the room because he was trying to keep from laughing. And at one point, Trump kind of says, "Oh, Chuck Schumer's here," and he looks very glum. He was sitting right next to the podium. So he reaches down, he goes, "Chuck Schumer's here looking very glum. He's looking very glum this evening, looks very glum." So he kind of went down, patted him on the shoulder, and Chuck tried to act like, "Oh, no, I'm happy. Look at me, I'm happy." But no, he didn't. He did not look happy at all. But it's probably difficult for Chuck Schumer to look happy about anything. He's 105 years old. So the whole thing right now for Kamala, and they're really, all the Dems are realizing she's failing. So they're failing miserably. So they're trying to pull out all the stops now and trying to do. They know that all but one swing state. Now this is. We're just talking popular vote here, folks, when we talk about the national polls. Donald Trump is pulling ahead in all of them. Now, there's a strategy here, and it's a psychological strategy, that they may be trying to pull on us. The pollsters may be trying to keep the polls close enough to believe that she can win on Election Day. One of the problems they've got right now is that early voting is proving to be that the Republicans have stepped up to the plate here on early voting. And they're doing it. And they're outshining and outnumbering the Democrats. The problem is, in some states like North Carolina, there are Democrats there who... There is a group of Democrats in this country who believe that they were born Democrats and that they have to remain Democrats, even if they vote Republican, they're still Democrats. "Well, you know, I'm from the South, I'm Democrat." You're a Democrat. You vote? I guess I'm not in that. I'm not born into a particular religion or a particular denomination. I was raised in the Anabaptist Mennonite tradition. Many things I still believe about, what I appreciate about the reason. The whole Anabaptist movement was just a movement that happened relatively at the same time that the Martin Luther Reformation happened, the Lutheranism Reformation. Most denominations in this country, most Christian denominations, are reformations or spin-offs from the Roman Catholic Church. Most of them are. So it is Reformed Catholicism, which I'm just going to get real frank with you. I don't believe that's what Jesus intended us to have. think that that's been man's copium way of doing it. He said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. I think we are to live out the fulfilled Judaism that we are supposed to fill. We now have Judaism fulfilled in Christ, and we are to live that out, period. Now, how we do that, the kind of organization we establish to do that, however we manage to make that happen. But I think it's important in the heart of every believer that we understand that we are, by faith, we are now children of Abraham. In fact, that's a little camp song that most kids sang in camp. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So it's we did that in camp as little kids. Well, if you went to camp as a little kid. So it's one of those things where we forget that message. It's called Judeo-Christianity for a reason. There's a reason why people are in touch with and feel akin to and some kind of roots with Israel and the Jewish faith. And it's important, I think, that we understand the what's being spoken through the oral tradition, the things that the feasts and the festivals and the things that they have. And Jesus attended all those, by the way. There's times when it shows what he was doing and where he was at. He was being a part of all the feasts and the festivals. And the way it's written, it's not really very clear because many of them were written, many of the gospel accounts were written just with everybody understanding that this is what happens right now during this time. But they didn't even think about the fact that they wouldn't have talked about Rosh Hashanah necessarily, because they knew that's what it was, and everybody knows what that is that time of year. They might, it says in some places it says it was 5 days before the feast or whatever it was, and everybody would have known what that feast was. So it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of hidden in plain sight, because it's just assumed that everybody doesn't know what that is. Which is why I think it's important that we study the meanings of the feasts and what was going on there, and the prophetic nature that they have. That's very, very prophetic. He fulfilled everything in all those, by the way, for the spring feast. And he will fulfill everything in the fall feast when he returns again. With everything there's the rapture of the church, the gathering up, and then there's the return for his rule and reign for 1,000 years. But that's it goes way, way, way deeper than that. There's a lot more to it than that. But it's interesting stuff. And we're getting into this whole thing of what all is happening right now with regard to politically. Now, again, I warn you all with this, just because Trump is going to win, or there's this whole strategy, I guess this is what I was talking about, this whole strategy of the pollsters and how they try to tighten up the polls at the end and try to make it seem, because they don't want people to think that, oh, it's a shoe-in, she's going to win anyway, I'm not going to vote. I think in some cases, in some ways, that's what happened with Hillary. Everybody was just so sure that Hillary was going to win that a lot of people didn't even show up to vote for her. They were just so convinced that she was going to win. Oh, there's no way Donald Trump's going to win. And then he did. And of course, they all blame it on the Electoral College. When they don't get their way, they hate the Electoral College. Because most of the people who vote Democrat are in these very populated counties. Now, this, you have to understand, when you look at a map of the country and you look at what by county, if you look at the people who vote conservative by county, the entire country is red. It is lit up like a stoplight, with these little pockets of blue areas where the heavy population areas are. This was part of the whole reason for the Electoral College. Was because of they wanted to be able to spread out. And it was based on property. At first, you couldn't even be a voter unless you were a property owner, because property owners tended to have more invested and they would pay more taxes. It was just some of those things where, because you are more invested in the country, you should have the right to vote. If you didn't own property, you didn't get to vote. That's kind of the way it came out initially. And that kind of spilled over into the Electoral College, where, since there are more people, there's a dog down there. Since there are more people owning more of the property out here, they should have, shouldn't have let these people who just live on top of each other in a city, all in one area. Because here's what would happen in a popular vote situation. Candidates will only go to where there's where the population is. There's large numbers of people, and the rest of us out here in the country will not hear from our candidates. We will not have a chance to speak to them, and therefore we become under the rule, so to speak, of the city, of the high populous areas, because the candidates will only cater to the high populated areas, which tend to be much more left-leaning for a reason. I don't understand that. It's interesting. This goes all the way back to Lot and Lot's wife when they were leaving the city of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. And they, of course, she looked back at the city. And that has all kinds of implications as to what that meant in terms of her looking back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. So there's all these ramifications of what that actually means. And of course, there is still this mentality amongst, and I've heard this from some people, how they love the fact that they live in the city, they park on top of their grocery store. And what's ironic about that is, so the people out here who are growing the food that's in your grocery store, you despise us? Is that what the case is? Maybe we should stop sending you the food we're growing here. See how that works out for you. Just find it very fascinating. So these polls, they have to play this game of, oh, she's down, she's the underdog. And this is actually, Kamala came out about 2 weeks ago when the polls were still pretty tight, and she was still pretty much on the upswing, or I shouldn't say she was, the momentum was behind. She actually came out and said she was, we're the underdog. Really? So I thought you said you were winning. Why are you all of a sudden the underdog? But she said that before the polls started, really. The polls were heading the wrong direction, don't get me wrong, but she was still ahead in the national poll. She claimed she was the underdog. I think she jumped the gun on that statement. This is to get people motivated. Oh, if we're going to win, we got to get out there and vote. This isn't going to be a cakewalk. That's what they're trying to do now. And by tightening up the polls, they get people motivated to go out and vote. However, they also want to make it look like she's still within winning distance, but boy, it's going to be close. You got to get out there and vote. And you can still donate to her campaign. She still needs money. We're just, the other side's getting all kinds of donations that are catching up. One of the telling questions that Brett Baer asked about Kamala was, is half the country, so half the country still supports Donald Trump. Are you saying that are they all crazy? Are they all stupid? How does that happen if he's such a, you don't think that they can see that he's an unstable individual? Because they just keep talking about how unstable he is, how he's not fit to be president. That's not winning people over, by the way. People are convinced that they're not believing that anymore. He's been president once, and we didn't have any other than this crazy riot that got out of hand. They're blaming that on him as well, and all these other stuff. Also, people are looking back, going, "Hey, you know, the economy was in pretty good shape. We're heading for another wave, by the way, of inflation." There's been some studies showing that we're going to hit. Inflation tends to come in waves because of the product supply, demand, all the stuff, and of course the government messes with it, tries to tinker with it, and then another next wave comes in. And that's what they're doing right now. They're trying to mess with things. I could get into more stuff. We'll talk more about Kamala's policies here over the next couple of days if I can. Some of the things about the business tax cuts and all kinds of stuff she's talking about. It's just ridiculous. But we'll get into more of that. But she really is. She's really messed up, folks. She's just a mess. She doesn't know what she's talking about. When she does talk about stuff, it's always about, well, people have dreams and aspirations and goals, and they I want to have an opportunity economy, That just means that the government is involved in whether or not you have an opportunity. They're going to give you money to start a business. They're not even going to do that. They're just going to give you a tax break, which means nothing if you don't have the money to start a business to begin with. Her understanding of business is so far off the stuff that they're doing is just all ridiculous in the background. It just like this man video, this Dudes for Kamala video that they put out. That wasn't her campaign. That was actually a PAC group that did it, but it just shows you where they're at with all this stuff. So it's just... crazy, crazy stuff, folks. We're in a crazy time. And it's just election year stuff. Everything that happens during this time of the year is just always crazy. Tomorrow, I might be calling one of our friends from down south. If he listens to the show today, hopefully he gives me a shout out. He's ready to take a call tomorrow because talk to our friend from Peru, who doesn't speak English really, but we'll try to understand we'll try to interpret what he says tomorrow. Okay, give him a call. biggest thing to realize is that he shouldn't even be here. But other than that, we will call him. So tomorrow we'll have a few more things about the show. Who knows what will be on tomorrow's show, because who knows what's going to happen today. But in the meantime, Donald Trump was at McDonald's. You never know who's going to show up at McDonald's. I think that went off very well, by the way. The media's playing it like it's... I thought that was a sweet move. Good move. God bless, folks. Have a great day.